Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and my beautiful wife, Krista.
Hello.
Dean Mercurio. We are here at Casey and our, you found us. You found us at 1460.
Yeah.
That's AM. And then what's FM?
96.5.
There you go. I got my glasses on now so I can start seeing this. So hey, we really appreciate you tuning in to hear us chat and ramble or however you want to describe it about food. It's our passion here. You can reach out, find us at Culinarily Yours online. And there's a lot of stuff on there. And then if you want to send a question or if you have a question, you can call. You can call down here at the station at 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Or you can, if you just want to type a question in and have us answer that, you can go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Right? Cookinglikeapropodcast.net. But anyway, we're here to chat about food and excited about that. First segment, we've been doing fresh updates on things that we find, and I've got a couple of different things we want to take a look at and chat about today. Butter squash is one of them. I love butter squash, and it's one of those things that you really didn't see used at all not that long ago, and now sometimes you'll see it as a diced vegetable, but it's great for you, super high in vitamins and minerals, of course.
It's much more popular, and you can find butternut squash ravioli, butternut squash soup.
Yeah, soup's a good one. Soup. I, matter of fact, I actually went down to the store and bought a organic. And folks, we need to go organic. We need, if there's one, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go off down a rabbit trail here, but the challenge that we have with the food that we eat is there's just so much of it that's being presented to us as being processed. And we really need to get away from that. It's because it's the process of that's taken away the vitamins and minerals and nutrients and fiber and all these things. And it's replaced them with other stuff.
Well, they're trying to get longevity and shelf life.
Yeah, so you're going to – so here we enter in anything from caking agents to, just things that are going to extend their shelf life. You know, you get preservatives and a variety of things. So anyway, we want to go organic. We want to visit the farmer's market. We want to spend time to make sure, you know, it's really true. You are what you eat. And so, you know, it's kind of garbage in, garbage out. So, you know, just it's something to keep in mind. It's something that we want to make sure we keep it on the front.
The butternut squash has its own little keeper. It has its own little protective packaging because it's a winter squash. It has a harder outside exterior, and they last a really long time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what shelf life is. We've got some that I had my friend Mark gave me some, like, I don't know when that
back
was.
Back early in the winter, yeah.
It was like beginning of summer or something. Yeah, so the nice long shelf life, but it's just a beautiful flavor, and it makes a really velvety soup. I got this butternut squash organic soup. It was, and I only got this for cost perspective because I do want to talk about that as well. And it was $6 or $5.99 for a little box of this soup.
Like a quart.
Yeah. And for this, I made the same soup. I mean, I adjusted it to where I wanted it to taste a little bit different. I happen to be a fan of white pepper, but, either way, it was less than $2. So in this time where we're looking at the economic concerns of food prices going skyrocket, and especially if you're going out to a restaurant, remember, if you go out to a restaurant, and just keep this number in mind, if you go out to a restaurant, folks, you can make that same thing at home for one-third of what you paid.
Sometimes even one-quarter, depending upon the markup.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's and even make it better, you know. I mean, and if you're not sure how, then give us a call. Give us a call or go on to, again, cookinglikeapropodcast.net and give us a question. We'll be happy to show you how, or go to the website. There's a lot of really helpful information on Culinarily Yours.
And we've got that new spaghetti squash pop up on there, so we can show people how to do spaghetti squash.
Yeah, we got this
thing. We talked about last week.
They say you're not supposed to call it this, and in the business they call it lead magnets. Not supposed to say that. But anyway, we've got like a half a dozen of them on there. We got one on barbecue, one on wine pairing, and a beautiful grocery list. And all you got to do is print it. It's free. You know, but good stuff. But anyway, and then we had that melon today. We got this melon. It's a hammy. Okay,
now, I have never seen it, never heard of it.
A hammy is the same. It's a category that's the same as honeydew or cantaloupe or watermelon or cassava or ambrosia.
Where did you get that?
Hammy. It's like what they used to call a sandwich, you know?
Yeah,
hammy.
Yeah,
hammy. Yeah, I want a hammy. But anyway, it's a hammy cantaloupe. I got it at the, down at the market. No. I picked that one up at Julia's,
the fruit stand?
The fruit stand on the side of the road
over
Highway 99.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the first things I thought about when we tried that today, because I'd compare it to a cantaloupe, but it was firm.
Very firm.
And crisp. To where a cantaloupe, you're really getting like sweet, juicy, and tender. From a hammy, looks the same basically. It's got that light, that orange color, but it's firm, sweet, and crisp.
It was almost more like a cucumber.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that Krista said when we tried it was, "Oh, this would be great if you cooked it."
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things. We had a wedge salad at one of my restaurants, and we cooked the wedge. And what it does is now you got this salad with this infusion of what we now call umami flavor. You know, this earthy flavor, this kind of a meat flavor from the char, and there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, so it takes your fruit into a completely different category. So if you want to do, let's say, a nice, you know, maybe tossed spinach salad, instead of tossing it with some of this just raw fruit hammy, imagine tossing it in with some diced up, you know, fruit that's been char grilled. And how that's going to change the flavor profile.
Now, if you don't have a grill, can you put that on a cast iron skillet to get a little bit of
char? You can sear it. Yep, you can sear it. You can cook it just about any way that you can. You don't want to cook it long, of course, because it's obviously very, very tender. It's like when you cook lettuce. You cook lettuce very, very quickly. It's usually 20, 30 seconds, and the griddle has to be real hot, clean. You want to make sure you scrape it and get rid of the soot. And all of that information is available at Culinarily Yours. We have a barbecue.
Yeah, the barbecue sauce cheat sheet has that information.
Barbecue cheat sheet. It's got sauces. It's got exactly how you prepare your barbecue, which, of course, is very important. But I thought it was good, you know, and I pulled off the label. Remember, all the fruit that you get will have a label on it. That label is going to tell you a variety of things, especially if there's something wrong with that lot that the fruit came out of or the vegetable came out of, you know, things like the E. coli, and sometimes we have these things that creep up on us and hit us, then they can trace it back. So there's a lot number on there. There's the name of the actual fruit. There's the country that it came from. Did it come from, in particular, this came from the USA, but if it would have come from, you know, Mexico or Canada or further down south where, you know, because remember, when it gets cold here in the winter, it's still warm down south.
Yeah, we have opposite
seasons. So, you know, and sometimes completely opposite, like Australia, which, of course, is the completely opposite of us. But anyway, so, yeah, you know, you can char grill it. You can do something, you know, kind of cool with it that maybe you couldn't do with a cantaloupe because it would be more of a tender fruit.
Now, could you put melon as a sweetener into like a butternut squash soup? There are, you know, two totally different worlds.
Yeah.
Is that something that you could mix?
Well, the thing is, you can do anything, you know, and that's a good point. I mean, if you wanted to add a little sweetness to a butternut squash soup, let's say your butternut squash wasn't quite where you wanted it to be in your flavor profile, yeah, go ahead and put some fruit in there and puree it in. They're not even going to know, and you know, but that's the point. We want to get people, folks, to start being able to pick up these true natural flavors, because that's when food becomes fun and exciting, and it kind of enters a different dimension, you know, because you're just more excited about that.
So Sounds good.
All right. So anyway, yeah. So, you know, we've got a hammy, we've got butternut squash soup, and you've got cooking like a pro. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yummy. Yummy, 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 yummy fruit salad. Let's make some fruit salad today.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's fun to do. It's a healthy way.
Oh, oh, oh.
Take all the fruit that you want to eat. It's going to be a fruit salad treat.
The first step.
Peel your bananas.
The second step.
Toss in some grapes.
The third step.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Ready for an unforgettable night of amazing music and good vibes? Then join us for an epic night at Danger Kitty's Billion Dollar Bash 2. It's all going down August 24th at the Axiom Repertory Theater, and this lineup is straight fire. We're talking about the killer sounds of Jeremy Ryan and the California Grown Band and the Pine Dogs Unleashed as openers, with Danger Kitty as the main event. Plus, you'll be feasting on some mouthwatering grub from Lakota's Catering, and the Axiom No Host Bar will be open. The whole shebang is included in your ticket price, and it's powered by Kay Shasta, Soundwave Entertainment, and KCNR Radio. Don't miss out on what is guaranteed to be a legendary night of rock and roll. Grab your tickets, rally your crew, as this promises to be a night to remember. Head on over to our website, DangerKittyMusic.com, or the Axiom Theater website for all the details and tickets. We'll see you there.
Wild thing. Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro with Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista. And you know, there's I've been reminiscing a lot lately, and that's one of the many words, because I've I finally jumped off the bridge to see if I hit the water, and I'm writing my cookbook, my first cookbook. People have been on me that for decades now. So anyway, as I'm in the process of that, there's a lot of things that you want to kind of collect, you know, past stories and things like that. And one of the things that I share a lot is my inspiration, from my culinary inspiration that came from my upbringing, from coming home and having a little post-it note on the refrigerator from mom saying, take care of the casserole, or dad in the morning, pretty much frying anything with a tortilla. Bologna and spam were always. Hun, did you eat a lot of spam when you're? No?
No, I no, had you Cheerios and Lucky Charms.
Oh, okay. Well, but, you know, we, yeah. Well, you know, you have to go with what you got. But anyway,
Fox Food Group.
I wanted to share something just really dear to me for a few minutes here about my father's upbringing, because, you know, when he was a kid, it was back to like in the 40s and 50s, and food was hard to come by. And I know a lot of people just don't understand that. They don't understand that, you know, I mean, when the war is going on, and in my father's case, he was a hunter, and somehow you had to get food on the table, and food was scarce, and being a hunter was just the perfect way of being able to collect those things. But because of that, growing up, we had a fairly, I'm going to mess this word up. Esoteric. What's the kind of the just variety and very
eclectic?
We'll go with eclectic on this. But anyway, because you know, Dad started hunting. I know that he started when he was, you know, around 12. He told me that he got a pellet gun, and then he would just pretty much nail things. You know, there you go. Oh yeah, spaghetti westerns. Thank you there, David. That was a perfect intro there to this. But really hunting anything from rabbits to squirrels to quail, pheasants but just whatever it is that he could bring home. And I remember eating squirrel. I remember eating rabbit, and I remember bringing it up in culinary conversations later on in life. And people would look at you like, you ate what? I'm like, yes, it was meat. It was good. You know, remember, you are what you eat, but you have to look at the animal, you know, and getting these animals when they're young, because I know that my father mentioned that he shot a guinea hen, but he shot a bigger one, and a bigger one's going to be tougher because it's been around. So you want to shoot a guinea hen, you want to shoot one that's a little bit smaller.
Well, it's a little different where you live. Like, we live in California, and I didn't really experience this, but my dad was from Idaho, and elk was huge.
Oh, Dad talks about elk from Colorado, and it's just a beautiful meat.
Yeah, it's a fantastic venison.
Yeah. Well, we spent so much time on venison with deer, and, you know, that was just what Mom just – our freezers were always full of deer. And I mean, it was just something that was, you know, stewed, seared, pan-fried, because you ate the whole thing. You could make soup. I remember Mom making a like we call it a venison pie. Sometimes they call it minced meat, but they use the neck out of the animal because there's a lot of meat in the neck, and it's real high in gelatin, so it just makes a great pie and holds it together.
So deer and elk, they lean more on the beef side of the spectrum?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would put it in the category of meat. You know, when you start getting into, I know that Dad talks here in his writings about bear, then you're getting into something, an animal that really has a quite a different flavor profile. But again, you are what you eat. What are the animals eating? And I know he talked about getting jackrabbits and cottontail rabbits, but the jackrabbit is a very active animal, so it's going to be tougher. Where a cottontail rabbit would be a little more tender. And when it comes to squirrels, you don't want to eat ground squirrels. You want a tree squirrel. So basically, you want the ones with the nice fluffy tails.
No.
You know?
I can't do that.
Oh, well, come on. Don't get all well, anyway, so I know that, you know, the quail and the pheasants, you cook them just like you do chicken. You know, and Dad talks here about when he got older and he got his .22 rifle, and then he could start getting deer and he could start getting elk. You know, and just again, those are the meats that you cook just like beef. And I know I read here where Dad says that all this wild meat would be very tasty, and if it was taken care of the right way. So it's always a matter of how you care for it. You know, how the animal is killed, how it's cleaned, how it's slaughtered, and there's a process, and you want to make sure rigor mortis, you know, sets in, and some things need a little bit longer time to hang. But I know that it was one of his, you know, treasured things of being able to hunt and provide for the family. I mean, we raised our own chickens, and, you know, I remember those things when I was younger. Dad goes on with his stories here about deer and elk liver. Now, those are excellent, and I remember that. And I know that when I cook liver, it's something that most people don't really care for.
Well, it's an older generation, like liver and onions.
Yeah.
But
it has to be treated correctly, right? You want to make sure that it's sliced thin, lightly floured and seasoned. Fry it up. Fry up a bunch of bacon. You can't put too many onions in a, there you go. We get that frying sound. We're frying bacon. Oh, I like that. Yeah, makes me hungry here. So, but again, you can't have too many onions in there. So these onions and bacon, goes on top of your liver again, whether it's elk or whether it's deer. In our family, that's the way we prepared it. One of the things I've seen a lot of people do is they put like a gravy on their liver, and I've never been one for that. know, I want to taste the liver. I want to taste the onions. I want to taste the bacon. I want to taste everything. I don't want it to be matted, you know, with the gravy where you just, you know, add some flour and water to it.
That's high in iron, right?
Iron
content.
Extremely high. Very, very, yeah. Liver is great for you. Yeah, it's just, I know that, you know, when Dad, and especially his brother Nick, Dad spent a lot of time with his brother who happens to live out in Colorado, still does, and they traveled out there numerous times, and they, you know, when you're in different areas, you have different animals, of course, that live in, you know, in those, that live wild in different areas, and back there, you could get, antelope, and you could get, of course, elk, more prevalent, and the rabbits would be a little bit different as well. But we were raised up in an area outside of, Northern California, a place called Gazelle. And Grandpa had this whole canyon that he had, and it was 5 or 6 miles deep. It was several miles deep and about a mile across from top to side, and steep sides on both. And we would go up there hunting, and that was called buck camp. And that's one of my earliest memories of buck camp. Because remember, I've said this before, in my family, you either killed things or cooked them, and I happened to be the worst shot. So I ended up in the kitchen with Mom and Mom's mother, my grandma, Marie. Just those were just some of the most special times ever of being able to spend time cooking with family.
Now, you're talking about thing that we have fairly locally accessible. What about bison and moose? Yeah. You know, has he ever hunted those?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, these days, so many things are farm-raised. So you can get a red-tailed deer from New Zealand. You can get, you know, different varieties of any animal you want, you can buy. You know, you buy rattlesnake. I've done a lot of rattlesnake. I've also done rattlesnake, which goes good in sausage because of it's just a lot of cartilage. You don't get a lot of meat out of a rattlesnake. But I just remember buck camp, a lot of just fun times with family, and remember just enjoying ourselves up there a lot.
So with all of this wild game, how would you prepare it? I mean, would you make it into tacos? Would you make it into tamales? Would you make it into stew?
No. Well, again, a squirrel and rabbit, just think about eating chicken. Think about eating fried chicken. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, except it's squirrel, rabbit. And then you can also braise it, which would be a moist cooking. If you did moist cooking, then you could stew it. And you throw in, you know, celery and onion and carrots, your basic mirepoix. Throw in some potatoes, thicken it up with a, at the time, you know, you could use flour and any type of liquid. Sometimes they used water, which would be a slurry. We used butter, which, of course, is a roux, which is going to taste better because butter tastes better than water.
And then you would get these through, like, a special wild game distributor because you obviously can't get from Safeway or Costco.
Just go on your phone. That's why we have cell phones now. I mean, we didn't have that, you know, so we had to, you know, Dad had to go out and kill it. But now you can pretty much buy what you want. But these things are pretty expensive as well. But, yeah, I remember Dad talking about killing a guinea hen, like I mentioned earlier, a bigger one. And it's just so tough. He said that Mom just stewed it for, like, hours, and it was still so tough that not only could they not eat it, the dog couldn't eat it. You know, so when your dog can't eat it, you know that you've gone a little bit too far. But I remember, again, back at DiMicurio's restaurant, we did wild game dinners quite often, and people were always very excited to come in, and I think a lot of it was, you know, maybe going back to work the next day and saying, hey, I had kangaroo last night, or alligator, you know. I mean, a lot of things, it's just, most of that stuff tastes like chicken anyway, you know. I mean, because chicken's just got that neutral flavor that everyone's used to, so you can say, oh, what's kangaroo taste like? Well, it tastes, you know, tastes a little bit like chicken, you know.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken or beef, but again, those are the flavors we get. But there's a lot of things that are out there, folks. And I know that we have a meat stores here. Talk to your meat mongers and see what it is that they're willing to bring in. Venison, again, hunting season is open. I think it's open for bows right now, and it will soon open for rifles. But we got deer, we got bucks right on our property, and they're eating our grapes, and they're. I think, what did they eat last night? Our tomatoes?
Oh, I didn't go look. I hope they didn't eat the tomatoes.
Yeah, maybe I need to have Dad come over. and work on that because, again, you know.
Well, you can even get, I'm looking right now at Trader Joe's, you can get buffalo burgers from Trader Joe's.
Buffalo burgers. Well, you know, anything they can grind up, you know, that's one of the ways they can use these.
What about more head cheese?
Head cheese.
What is head cheese?
Head cheese. It's everything from the head that's put in, and it's kind of a gelatinized, and it's wrapped up and baked off and sliced. So it's pretty much anything in the head. So, you know, anything you can. And there's a lot of stuff in the head. So
I'll become a vegetarian at this point.
All right, Cooking Like a Pro. We'll be back right after this break at the bottom. Thank you.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim frim claws with the R's and they wish a fobba on the side.
Gold Leaf Summer Sale is going on now, and you don't want to miss it. If you need shade trees, they have them at 20% off, along with crepe myrtles and blooming fruit trees. Shrubs and trees are the foundation of any landscape design. They offer color, fragrance, shade, and privacy. Shrubs and trees will thrive when they're planted in the right place. Gold Leaf Nursery is here to help you choose the right shrubs and trees that work best with your landscape project. Take advantage of their summer sale going on now. You'll find shade trees and shrubs in 1 gallon or larger, all 20% off. That's a huge savings for any project. Gold Leaf Summer Sale is going on now, and you don't want to miss it. Come on out and stroll through the beautiful grounds of Gold Leaf Nursery and take advantage of their summer sale. It is going on right now. You'll find your local Gold Leaf Nursery at 6186 Churn Creek Road, just a quarter mile past the airport, and across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, as well as online at goldleafnursery.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Have we got a show for you?
Well, I tell you, welcome back. Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and my wife, Mrs. Chef Krista. And, yeah, I don't know VeggieTales. I mean, I know that our son is 15 years old, so we probably ought to probably lay off the VeggieTales, but for a while there, that was it. You know, I mean, for a decade, it seems.
Well, even when I was in college, we used to watch the littles. All the college kids were sitting watching VeggieTales.
VeggieTales. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about vegetables because cooking vegetables is one of those things that it's so easy to use an incorrect cooking process and destroy the nutritional value of it. So it's something that you really want to think through. You want to, of course, always use items that are in season, that are in peak season for a variety of reasons. One, they'll be, you know, the most healthy, but they'll also generally be less of a cost because supply and demand, there's just more asparagus available or whatever it happens to be. But again, you want to be careful because when you're dealing with something that's very, you know, tender and sensitive and, you know, can be pretty easy to ruin, you know. I mean, if you take asparagus, for example, and it becomes army green, you've kind of ruined it, right? So you want something that really falls in the category of al dente. So you remember al dente, right, sweetheart?
Al dente means to the tooth.
To the tooth. So
just
if
a
you're
little
biting,
bit of bite.
Yeah, if you're biting into something, so let's say we're talking about cooking vegetables now. So you're biting into a piece of broccoli. There's the definition of to the tooth means that there's a slight resistance between your teeth and then your bite breaks through. So it's not crunchy. It's not soft. there it's al dente. So that's what you're looking for. But, you know, cooking vegetables, a lot of ways to do it. I know that you did some homework on this today.
Yeah, I did a little bit of homework. Steaming is fantastic. And if you're doing it in the microwave really quickly, make sure you put it in a glass dish.
Yeah, I've been seeing, you know, I'm not going down a conspiracy theorist of food just yet. But, you know, folks, we eat way too many credit cards each day. You know, there is plastic everywhere. It's in the air. It's in the water. It's covering our vegetables. So for a long time, I've just taken asparagus and put it in a Ziploc baggie with a little butter, salt, pepper. And it creates its own moisture because most vegetables are 60 to 90% water. And it just comes out perfect. But trying to get away from plastic, you know, and it's something that seems to be everywhere. So I'll jump off that soapbox for a minute, but
they're even trying to create these instant bags at the freezer. She's really pull it out of the freezer, still in the bag, and cook it in the bag. They're making these microwavable bags, and I still take it out and put it in a glass dish.
Something that you know doesn't have, that's not real porous, you know, something that's gonna, you know, has a fairly tight seal on it. But for me, generally it's sauteing them. But one thing that I've always used when I was small, was shocking. You know, you shock the vegetables. You drop them in boiling water for a matter of anywhere between 30 seconds to, you know, 6 minutes, depending on whether you're doing large cut carrots or tender pencil asparagus, and get it to the point where it's just under al dente, and then you go take it out and pull it straight into ice water. You don't want to overcook because the water is going to taste like, well, in this case, broccoli, if you did broccoli. And so that there's been a flavor transfer. So you've lost some of that broccoli flavor. So you want to do it real quick. And now you've got a product that is ready to go. All you got to do is bring it up to temperature. So, you know, saute pan, right? Saute pan, a little garlic, a little shallots, get a little sear going there. And then throw your vegetables in and bring them up to temperature. Remember, I always have a squirt bottle. We always have a squirt bottle of water next to the stove. And you just hit it with a little water. You get a little steam, put a lid on it. Your vegetables are done in literally less than 60 seconds.
Well, you can even use wine. You could use a little bit of vegetable broth.
Anything you want to flavor it. But remember, we've talked about this before when I know that you've looked at, you know, responses that we've had through doing the website and things where one of the bigger questions or most frequently asked questions, is that how do I get all my food to come up at the same time? You know, and that's one of the ways. Have your vegetables ready where they're going to take, you know, a minute to do. So your meat comes off and it's resting. Your potatoes come out or your pasta, whatever your starch is. You know, 60 seconds on your vegetables. And now everything's nice and hot and comes up together. So shocking your vegetables, I would par cooking might be another term, you know, that might be understood more. We called it shocking, but, you know, par cooking, but get it to the point where it's just under al dente.
Well, that's something I do with the microwave. I'll par cook even a potato, a vegetable, just to get it to that, not even quite al dente, still just a little bit more firm, and then finish roasting it. Because roasting takes a really long time and a lot of oven energy and gas. So start at the microwave, finish it in the oven to get that caramelization, get that roasted flavor.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point, because if you take just raw cauliflower and you want to roast it, for example, it's one of those things that's a great dish. It's a great way to prepare it. But if you do it from the start, it's firm enough that, you know, there's a good chance that it could sear a little more than you want it before it gets tender on the inside. You know, because cauliflower is fairly dense, not as dense as a carrot, but certainly it's more dense than broccoli.
And you're trying to get that roasted flavor. It can be going too far.
Yeah. I mean, I've cut cauliflower and cooked it into cook it like a steak. You know, if you got someone that's a vegan and they're looking for something like that, or you just want kind of a nice, healthy alternative to the, or maybe you're using a nice, steak of cauliflower that you slice, into that, you know, 1-inch thick piece. And then barbecue it, season it, and barbecue it, and then maybe you're adding something, you know, to it, or
portobello mushrooms. They are fantastic for that, too.
Portobellos are great. Yeah. I mean, there you can do so much with vegetables on a barbecue. It adds such a great, you know, change in flavor than just having, you know, butter, salt, and pepper on your peas or, you know, just, I mean, you want to get out there and try something that's going to be a little bit exciting, that's going to add a little bit of flair or difference or more enjoyment. Right.
Now, so we talked about if you don't have a grill, because I have a client right now, we're going to talk about the grilled portobello, and she's like, I don't have a grill. So if you could do it inside, how would you do it? How would you get that smoky flavor?
Yeah. Well, you're just going to sear it. The only way to sear it really would be in a pan. If you can get a pan that has grill grate marks or grill marks on it, that would help. But if not, just sear it right in a pan. The thing about searing in a pan is just have to make sure that the pan is correct. You know, the pan is the got to be the right temperature. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just got a light amount of oil in there.
You're talking about like 350, 400 degrees?
350 is a perfect sub. But, you know, in order to check your temperature in a saute pan.
You need to have a temperature.
Yeah, you would really need infrared. You know, it's kind of hard to check that for most people.
For $25.
Yeah, well,
that's
what we use. But yeah, no, basically you hold your hand about 8 inches above the oil. And it should feel nice and warm. And you can also just dip your fingers in a little bit of water, but be careful. And you could flick just a couple drops of water in there. And if that water starts kind of splatting right away, be careful doing that. But that tells you how hot your oil is. But again, what you want is that vegetable, in this case, talking about vegetables, to start cooking immediately when it goes into the pan. You don't want to soak up oil. And you also want to, I stick with the good olive oil. Try to start staying away from the seed oils. The seed oils, they've been so refined and processed.
Extra virgin.
I know they're
pressed.
Inexpensive. Yeah, you know, and if you're doing that, then you're just being a little more careful with the amount you use. We're not trying to deep fry the thing, so you just need enough to coat the bottom of the pan. What is that? Maybe a couple of tablespoons? You know, so you really
if that.
And you don't need much. And you want a pan that's flat, but you want to, again, get something that's heavy bottom. You want something that's really holding that heat. Sear it on one side, sear it on the other. If it's not quite done inside, hit a little bit of water, not a lot. You don't want to, you know, we're not trying to steam it. We're just trying to, you know, bring it up to a temperature where it's, you know, all that day you could.
Now, if you're vegan and you are going for that smoky flavor, what about a mesquite seasoning or a liquid smoke, anything like that? Would that help?
I wouldn't use liquid smoke. I mean, liquid smoke they used to use it a lot when I was being raised in this industry. It seemed like it went in everything. But no, I would kind of try to stay away from that. But they do have a mesquite seasoning and a variety of actually mesquite seasonings that are really flavorful that you can put on. I use it a lot on duck.
Yeah, just a light
duck.
Light dusting.
Yep, use it a lot on duck. You know, even if you took the different, like they have, what's that one from Trader Joe's? It's got all the everything thing in there. I mean, again, it depends on which direction you want to go.
Yeah,
it just depends on which direction you want to go. But Grill Mates, I know that McCormick, I worked with those chefs decades ago, and they do a great job on their flavors and their seasonings. So
we got a question.
Yeah, sure, shoot.
Okay, so Mike is saying he's trying to make a veggie medley in the oven, but he's having trouble timing out the different vegetables cook at different times.
Correct.
Any Perfect. Suggestions about that?
Perfect. All right, Mike. Well, Mike, thanks for calling. We appreciate the question. And basically what you want to do is you want to add the more dense vegetables first. But what I would do to make it a little more, you know, foolproof would be to take those more dense vegetables like your carrots or maybe your cauliflower and shock those, maybe your green beans, shock those in boiling water for 2 minutes, shock your carrots for 4 or 5 minutes, shock your cauliflower, you know, for a minute or so, cool those down, and then throw them all in the oven. What you want is you want all those vegetables, Mikey, to come up at the same time to be the same degree of doneness. And it's not going to work when you're using something that takes 30 seconds, like asparagus maybe, and something that takes 6 minutes. So you have to get a process, and there's two ways to do that. One is to shock them. The second way, Mikey, would be to just, you know, add your carrots and then add, you know, let those go for a few minutes and add your cauliflower, let those go a few minutes, add your green beans, add your broccoli, add your asparagus, you know.
Which is the same way that you would do
red
pan
bell
cooking.
Pepper. Yeah. But that's a little more of a pain because you're opening up your oven or you're throwing it in stages.
And that's the problem with sheet pan dinners, which are very popular right now. But unless you know how to put things in the oven by timing, some things can get overcooked and some things are undercooked.
Yeah, just always kind of think about how dense is it and what's going to take the longest. Start off with that stuff. And again, shocking it or pre-blanching it by far is a great way to go. But if you got it on the stovetop and you got a lid for your frying pan, it's a great way to do it.
And like I said, power cook it in the microwave too.
All right, and we appreciate you calling in on that one. That was a great one. So Cooking Like a Pro, we'll be out for our last break here and back in just a moment.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Fiesta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Feeling the smoke in the air? Breathe easier at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave on Market Street. Salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs, clearing and easing asthma, sinus, and skin issues. Perfect for teens, families, athletes, and pets. Our salt therapy also helps with inflammation, frozen shoulder, carpal tunnel, and surgery recovery. Enjoy our infrared sauna and light therapy for weight loss and rejuvenation. Plus, try the Genesis Stone, a wearable aid for breathing and stress relief that may help reduce medication needs. Don't miss our back-to-school coupon codes around town. Visit Capturing the Essence Salt Cave today.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Red wine, yes. And you know, we're going to talk a little bit about a variety, not so much, well, we're going to talk about wine, but we want to talk a little bit about an Appalachian area, and just a place that does a beautiful job with both reds and whites, but I'm a fan of reds from this area, and we're going to be talking about Paso Robles. Paso Robles is just a great area that gets some of that breeze that's coming in, for it to have cool nights, so you have the grapes have more time to mature and to develop. So I've had just countless.
It's starting to rival Napa in some ways.
Yeah, well, in certain varietals, I know that for me, if I want a Zinfandel, I'll get one from Paso Robles before I'll get it from Napa or Sonoma. Not that they don't make some great wines in that area. I mean, you've got Williams-Salem up in Hillsburg, and I mean, some amazing Zins come from there because there's a lot of it's got a lot of old vines, old vine, you know, and a lot of times they do they don't do trussing like the long rows. They do it in kind of a circular way. So
more like a bush.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, like a wine bush. But those stalks are huge. I mean, they're like, you know, big around as your leg, you know, but they've been there so long, and what you get out of that is you get more of a character. You got a wine that's, grapes are going to be more mature. They're going to be, they're going to add some different complexities that you won't get out of certain things. They're just more developed. You know, I mean, refined, and the tannin is, you know, it's almost controllable, you know.
So an old vine versus a young vine.
Yes. The older the vine, the more mature it is, the more mature the flavor is going to be, as opposed to a new one. But again, and a lot of that has to do with the varietal. I mean, a Cabernet or a Zinfandel, a wine that's going to be a little more, a heavier wine, a little more robust wine. If you're looking for something that's going to last a long time, you know, you're really going to want something that's built to be able to do that. One of the things I wanted to touch on, too, is in Paso Robles is this beautiful little pocket community, and it's called Tin City, T-I-N, Tin City. And it's because all the roofs are tin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a beautiful place, and it's got a down around that area. You got Lona Madrone. I've had their wines before, and Tobless Creek and Union. What was that Union wine tasting that we did with my Uncle Mike?
It was Union Sacra.
Union Sacra. Oh, I think that was Whites. But oh, those were just delicious.
We've also done Monochrome.
You know what that was? That was an online tasting, folks, with the winemaker. I mean, there's some great opportunities out there if you go online and get into a winery and find out if they offer these sort of packages where you can get
Zoom.
A group. Oh, we've done that several times, and it's always just been fun. It's like a Zoom thing, but you can ask questions, which when it comes to wine, I'm a question asker. I've always been fascinated by it. I think, my grandma, Marie, being at the top of the hill when we came up, when we were like, you know, maybe 9, 10 years old from abalone diving. I wasn't diving, you know, everyone else dove, I think, but me and grandma, we'd pick rocks and stuff, and me and my brother Ben, but when we get to the top, there was this, you know, the bottle of Cabernet. Cabernet is just like this big kind of round. I don't even know if they have it. I'm sure they got to have it somewhere. I don't know. But but the purpose was it just got you warm because it was so cold because you were going down at 4 or 5 in the morning and it was just freezing. The ocean's cold and just, you know, a little swig of wine and boom, warmed right up. And you know, they didn't have, you know, child protective services back then. And, you know, I mean, we weren't getting, you know, drunk on the cliff. We were just, you know, something to warm you back up. So anyway, but being Italian, it was something that was probably going to always be a part of my heritage. But again, so I think that Paso Robles is just a great place to go down there. We did have a really nice wine that I got allocated. It was a Turley Zin, which certainly one of the best Zins in the world. I think we sold it for $300 or $400 a bottle. I mean, it was, you know, if you want a wine that is just superb, you know, you might spend $75 on getting it shipped to you, you know, $75 for the wine. But I'll tell you, if you really want to sit there and enjoy everything that wine has to offer, and just take your time sipping it and have some food choices. You know, that's what was a fun thing about what we did with, Mike and Kara was that, you know, we had, you know, like some cheese and crackers and some dried meats and some dried berries.
Have some food choices. And hit all the cheese and the meat.
You know, now you have the internet. Read the back of the bottle. You know, maybe a blue cheese, right? Dried cranberries, any dried fruit. Is it going to be great?
Yeah, prunes, persimmons, pomegranates.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to just come up with like items, then look at the back of the bottle. I mean, the people that create the wine are going to be able to tell you what is best to match and pair with it. I mean, that's their job. That's their passion.
And actually, Zinfandel is very well paired with barbecue and barbecue sauces.
Yep, it does. I mean, it's got, you know, some spice to it. You know, it's got heat. Well, heat comes from alcohol, but I always think more along the lines of pepper.
Like black pepper, black, white
yeah,
pepper.
Yeah, black pepper is just something you get a lot out of that. And again, and you're sipping it, and you're sipping it slow, and you're enjoying it. And maybe you take a little bit, and this is the perfect way to make a match, a marriage, with that, it would be to add a little bit of the wine to the barbecue sauce.
That's what I was thinking. And then instead of baste beer, let's try wine.
Lamb or whatever it is you got on the grill, duck. You know, barbecue duck's always been, especially duck breast, you know, one of my favorites. So, you know, enjoy it. Again, having, you know, drinking a glass of wine versus drinking a glass of wine and having something to enjoy with it. Why not elevate the experience of that glass of wine? Kind of like when you go out to a restaurant maybe and you order a glass of wine and you look for an appetizer, that might go well with that. So you're just, you know, again, it's your, making a better celebration.
Well,
and
you're looking to travel, instead of traveling to, say, Napa, go down to Paso Robles and go to Tin City. It's a maker's market.
Oh,
it's more about food and wine. It's just a lovely location for people to travel to now. It's becoming a destination.
Yeah, and I know I was looking up this about that Lone Madrone, just a beautiful place, just like a resort area. And they have places where they have cabins. Or, I don't know, cabins or if it's a motel, but they have a variety of places where you can stay there. They're family friendly. You can bring the family. They got places. Bring your dog.
Bring your dog.
They're dog friendly. I like that. I see that. They have Hope on the Park. They have Hope Family, Wines. Also was named Winery of the Year by wine enthusiasts. So, just, you know, you want to take a little trip. Certainly it's cheaper than, you know, jumping on a plane, going to, you know, Burgundy or, you know, or Tuscany, if you want to, you know, go somewhere in Europe. But Lone Madrone, it's L-O-N-E, second word, M-A-D-R-O-N-E. But go online, take a look at that. And if you get a chance, if you're a wine person, like I happen to be, then that's a good place to go.
So what was this bottle you brought home last night? It had an interesting label on it.
You know, it did, and I enjoyed there's still some left. I think I had a couple.
I didn't get any.
It was called Purple Cowboy, and I thought it was just hilarious. It was really, really nice. I think it was only $7. I got it at, I think, Grocery Outlet.
Did you buy it for the label?
Yeah. Well, no, but I bought it because it looked interesting because I was looking for blends. So it's a blended wine. It's a red wine, but it's blended with a variety of grapes. And I just want to read what the back label said here. It said that this Purple Cowboy, again, is the name of this wine. It said, legend has it that there was a group of winemakers who loved to ride rodeo on the weekends while putting... Good job. Our engineer is on top of it. Anyway, while putting together their blends, the red wine turned their teeth purple. So they became known as the Band of Purple Cowboys. I thought that was it. You know, there is so much in life that really comes from a story. But anyway, so the Purple Cowboy wines are a tribute to these winemaking cowboy riding cowboys. And they're from Paso Robles.
Okay.
Yeah, and I loved it. They're a supporter of Think Pink. They had that on there that they have the Western Community Grassroots Campaign for the battle for breast cancer. So again, go down to Paso Robles and you can try out the Purple Cowboy. I you know, so many things come out of a story.
Right? Oh. Yes.
So especially as, you know, again, as I'm working on this cookbook, there's a lot of things that are just cool and unique. But I think that we have this one life. We go around this one time. You know, again, why not, enjoy it and enjoy everything? And again, I'll mention this probably almost every show that very few things will do more than eat, perhaps sleep. You know, not in my case, but, you know, we eat. And why not enjoy it? Why not take it to that next level? Why not practice being able to taste things? Practice being able to pick up things in different parts of your tongue. You know, your tongue picks up that sour and sweet and bitter.
Okay, talk about the sip, bite, sip. The technique for taking a little sip of wine, taking a bite of food, and then a sip of wine. How does that change flavors? What should you be looking for?
Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for, is the experience of how that changes it. Is it positive or negative? You know, you might take a sip of a stronger red wine, maybe a Zinfandel, and then maybe you eat a little small piece of blue cheese. So that's going to be a creamy texture, and it's going to coat your tongue. Then you go back and drink the wine, and now all the tannins are gone. because the wine's been softened, and it's been softened by what it is that you just ate. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of depth a person can go into. I mean, you know, we always say in the restaurant business, you drink what you enjoy. Okay. But why not, if you're, you know, into it, just, and if you're into just enjoying things to a greater degree, why not just take these things and experiment with them and enjoy yourself?
So that's if you took a sip of Zinfandel and you had a peppercorn steak, and then went back to the Zinfandel. If there's any peppery notes in it,
you
then it
would,
should
yeah,
pick that up and bring that forward.
Yeah, pepper would be accentuated. But what it is, that's what the food does. It's going to accentuate those flavors that we have and that we pick up even more so in the wine. So anyway, we really appreciate it, folks. We're down to the end here, but Chef Tal and my wife, Mrs. Chef Krista, cooking like a pro. You've reached us here every Wednesday, and we appreciate you tuning in. Thank you very much.
Medical Center.